Welcome to the May 8th, 2023, 6 o'clock Board of Commissioners meetings. I call this meeting to order. Let's stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's have a roll call.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Koontz?
Here.
So let's have the a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Support.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to add one thing to the agenda to be considered, that prison diversion program we approved at the last meeting.
Okay, so what do you want done with that?
I think we should reconsider it.
So what should we do with that?
Well, typically, if there's something like that, there was a recommendation to the board, and it would come back at the next meeting.
So let's bring it back up and put it on the agenda for the next meeting. Anybody else for the agenda? Call the roll.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
No.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Looking for a motion for the consent agenda.
I will, Chair. I move to approve the consent agenda and all items contained therein, and authorize the county administrator to sign the attached items on behalf of the Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the consent agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think we need to break that down because there's two things in the minutes that need to be corrected.
Okay.
They both are because of me, probably.
What are the corrections?
The first one is about this prison diversion program. I asked a question at the last meeting. It was a very simple question. Are violent offenders included in the program? And a member of the audience spoke, according to the minutes here, she was Nicole Scott, a community corrections director. It doesn't seem like she really answered the question, yes or no. It seemed like her answer should be included in the minutes. Seems to be pretty important to me. And then on the second correction is on page 4. It talks about me attending the Michigan Township Association meeting where Sheriff Wallen presented on the jail and the work release program. That's not correct. He was in Las Vegas that night, and he had a deputy sheriff there present the program.
So can we make those corrections?
I guess I'd have to go back and listen to the minutes for the first one. Second one was a misunderstanding based on what he said.
I think it was the undersheriff that made the presentation.
Is Steve trying to talk?
Oh, the attorney.
I thought maybe he was.
Well, this is Joellen. When you're finished with this, I would like to speak to the motion to reconsider to explain to you under Robert's rules how that is appropriately to be taken up.
Okay, thank you.
I can bring the minutes back at the next meeting if you'd like.
Let's do that on the consent agenda. So we'll just table that until next. So go ahead with the attorney.
Yes, so a motion to reconsider needs to be made by someone from the prevailing side. So the members who voted to approve that grant, they can bring up a motion to reconsider. It cannot be made by someone who voted in the side that did not prevail. You have to have a motion and a second to bring up something to reconsider.
Thank you for that. Do you understand that, Chuck?
Yes, I understood that. I knew I could not make the motion. That's why I didn't make a motion. I just recommended that we reconsider, hoping that one of you guys would make the motion.
Okay.
I'll make that motion to reconsider.
Well, we have a motion to reconsider. Do we have a second?
Second.
Can the negative make the second?
No, it's from the prevailing side.
Do we have a motion to second? Motion dies. Moving on.
Chair, I think you need to address the remonumentation program since that wasn't, the consent agenda wasn't approved.
Okay.
So
could we have a motion for the remonumentation program renewal?
Are we making that motion separate then? Because the minutes didn't get approved. I'll make that motion.
Second.
So there is a motion written out. Click on that. Why don't you go ahead and read the motion?
I move the board approve the attached contracts with various surveyors and authorize the county administrator to sign on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners. 23-01 Northland Surveying and Mapping LLC. 23-02 North Star Land Surveying. 23-03 Benchmark Engineering Incorporated. 23-04 Northland Surveying and Mapping LLC. 23-05 North Star Land Surveying. 23-06 Benchmark Engineering Incorporated.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion on this? We can use a voice vote on this. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. We are open for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step forward to the mic. Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am David Penniman. I live in Littlefield Township. It is within the responsibility of this board to be aware of issues with the Four County Board of Health, and several issues are going to be raised this evening. Responsible governing pays attention to opportunities to make the lives of people better. We are all neighbors. We do what we can to care for and support one another. It is gravely irresponsible for voting members of the Board of Health to receive governmental support for their businesses and personal interests while denying support to the most vulnerable, to those least able to advocate for themselves. It is irresponsible for a meeting to fail to conduct its ordinary business in things like paying bills and the administration of human resource management. There is a further issue. It's particularly important to me as a member of a faith community, as one whose practices of spirituality includes personal prayer and prayer within the faith community. Long ago, on December 15, 1791 to be exact, we Americans ratified an amendment to our Constitution, thus making it a full integral part of our Constitution. The first line of that First Amendment reads, "Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Our courts of law, in upholding law and order in our land, have consistently interpreted that dual responsibility so as to apply to all governing bodies. When someone in a governing body, or as part of the proceeding of the governing body, speaks a public prayer, it is an expression, it is a demonstration of preference for a religious tradition. It is not enough to say, we all worship the same God. My Hindu neighbors in this four-county region practice devotion to multiple gods. My Buddhist neighbors practice a non-theistic religion. There are neighbors who have no spiritual or religious practice. It is not enough to say prayer is non-denominational. Words like denominational or non-denominational are Protestant Christian terms and do not have meaning for my Roman Catholic or Orthodox neighbors. Prayers given in the name of Jesus are entirely inappropriate for my Jewish neighbors. Praying in the name of Jesus or referencing the deity as Father are not only inappropriate,
15 seconds,
thank you, but offensive to my Muslim neighbors. The responsibility of a governing board is to all the people who live in the defined geographical area. The Board of Health is responsible for the health and well-being of all the people, to treat all people with respect, and protect my religious liberty as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else is next? Step forward, please.
Speaking of the guy himself, that's me. Hello. My timer starts after you know who I am, right?
It starts when you approach the podium.
When I approach the podium, well, I better ask. Hi, I know I remember some of you well, because I had two children. And I am here on behalf of them. I'm Lisa Keen. Little Traverse Township. Thank you, Don. Some citizens, and more concerning, some public leaders continue to behave like scorned ex-lovers, seeking vengeance for a failed relationship, which is the clearest analogy I can give for those who dwell in contempt over COVID policies of the past. It is easier to move forward when assuming good intentions. People tried their best in a confusing time. It is beyond time to put mandate stress behind us. The horse is dead. Dismount. I was recently asked a powerful question. Are you aware? The person was referring to decisions made by the Board of Health to end or block health department programs on which my most vulnerable students rely. For me, obligation follows awareness. I am not here because I want to stand before you with a message that will have the ERG blasting me all over its website. But I am unable to repress the obligation I feel to represent those who don't have the ability or confidence to take a stand publicly. I took a morning away from my classroom last Tuesday to attend the board meeting that wasn't. The room was full of people like me who were prepared to address the board with concerns about denying the health department's pursuit of a grant that would have given $500,000 in private funds for a program to benefit local farmers and area school children through nutritional health initiatives. And Rich, I regret to single you out, but your refusal to approve the agenda to allow discussion about the grant ensured Emmett County would not get any say in the grant. And you attempted to silence people like me who were there to support it. It doesn't take a very savvy person to read fellow Board of Health member Jairus Rubin's justification for denying the grant to realize some members of our health board are willing to ride the underdeveloped backs of school children to enact their political vengeance on the health department. And tragically, Mr. Ginnup, you stand with them. I mean, Jesus Christ loves all. Rich, if you're going to pray at public meetings and claim to be a follower of Christ, stop being selective to those you serve. If you're going to serve in the Board of Health, advocate for the organization instead of deliberately working to defund it. And if you're going to support and arguably initiate groups with the intent to promote limited government, then step down from serving in a government role. And if you are unwilling to step down from serving the government, you seem to disdain that I ask all of you, as our county commissioners, to see how the conflict of interest demonstrated in Rich's continued service on the Board of Health puts our most vulnerable and marginalized groups at risk. How much time do I have? Any?
It's over.
Anybody have 3 minutes to donate to me? Sure. Thank you, Nancy.
We don't have that policy here.
You don't.
Nancy, yes, somebody else
step
up. Step away.
Generally, we have 3 minutes when they start to comment as well. It's not when you approach the board.
Is there in the introduction? Is there
Nancy Kohler. Thank you.
What's your name again?
Nancy Kohler.
Okay.
And if you are unwilling to step down from serving the government you seem to disdain, then I ask all of you as county commissioners to see how the conflict of interest demonstrated in Rich's continued service on the Board of Health puts our most vulnerable and marginalized groups at risk. Our community deserves its decision makers to act on their behalf. And Rich has proven repeatedly he is only willing to serve his own kind, and that is not enough. Our community deserves better. Jesus deserves better. Your decision may not be popular with some of the loudest and meanest in town, but you will be doing the right thing to better ensure the entire public has access to public health programs by removing Rich Ginnup from the Board of
Health. Point of order!
Thank you.
I call point of order.
You have the right.
You are not allowed to single out commissioners by name, so stop it.
That's correct. If you read in the notes for the public, quiet in the crowd. If you read in the public comment notes, you're not allowed to single anybody out. Who's next?
Hello. Good evening. I am Anne Marie Conway. I'm speaking as a private citizen to you tonight. I, too, however, have been newly elected as a commissioner. And my understanding as a commissioner is that it's my job to serve all constituents, not just those who I agree with. And so on our board, we do a really great job of discussing all issues. We have a variety of political persuasions on our board, and we talk about things and we come to a compromise. We don't play games about trying to not allow people to speak and other things like that. So on our spectrum of different political philosophies, we discuss issues. We discuss what the role of government is, seeing as how we are the government that's trying to enact these things. Another thing that I also have learned being a new commissioner is that I, like you, serve on a number of boards and spend a lot of time away from home attending these meetings. I also know that it's important for us, being just elected representatives and nowhere near the experts in the fields, the boards that we serve, that we have to rely on employees, directors, and others who have been in those positions for decades. We have to rely on their expertise to make the best decisions that we can for our community. The fact that you undermine them does no good for anyone. As an educator, and knowing that Charlevoix Public Schools has over 50% free and reduced lunch for our kids who take home bags every Friday so they can feed their families, what you have done has undermined the mission of the health department, which is to serve our entire community and to achieve health equity by promoting well-being, preventing disease, and protecting the environment through partnerships, innovations, and excellence in public health practice. So it is therefore on behalf of these Charlevoix and other citizens that I ask, so the names are Candace Weirs, Aaron Weirs, Tricia Drenth, Doug Drenth, Julie Bergman, Douglas Bergman, Julie McLean, John McLean, Karis Mullaney, Tara Ostrom, Rodney Ostrom, the list goes on and on. We ask that you think twice about who you have serving on the health board so that they may do their job as they have been hired to do. Thank you.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. Our rules specifically state that the person addresses the chairperson directly during public comment, just to clarify that.
So next, who's next?
Hi, all. I'd like to start by saying good job. Finally, somebody in government looks out for us other little people. You're finally looking at things that matter. You're looking at not only supposedly free grants, because it's not free. It's actually financed by Michigan Economic Development Corporation, MEDC, which is getting its money from the public. So this idea that it's a private foundation is just another smokescreen. And I'm glad that you have been able to figure that out. I would also like to point out that this program is just another crazy reduplication of efforts where it gives things to people that we already have. So why do we want to duplicate it and reduplicate it and keep asking for more of the same thing when already the schools in the cafeterias are throwing away a legendary amount of food? And I'm a little bit angry that this thing is going to be pushed onto the farmers as if the farmers who are producing these things are incapable and need some kind of crazy foundation to help them out, because they don't. Thank you for looking into the background of this foundation and finding out that it's a smokescreen and that it's not what they claim, but is something a whole lot worse. So I would encourage you and please ask that you would continue to look at these grants, that you would continue to look at them critically, that you would stop funding these idiotic programs, and that you would continue to show fiscal responsibility. I thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Who's next?
Ann Strickley, I'm a county resident. On behalf of the following names, Julie Adams, Kristen Case, Mike Hay, Jesse Lynn Norcross, Danica Howard, Bethany Lieberman, Rachel Graham, George Robson, Walter Baker, Martha Baker, Tina Ackler, Dr. Dale Ackler, Richard Johnson, Lynette Johnson, myself, Ann Strickland, Fred Harrington, Harry Vigneault, Cynthia McWaters, James McWaters, Jennifer Shorter, George Armstrong, Carol Francis, Donna Doherty, Mary Margaret Kornbaker, Jenny Dodge, and Katie Allen. I'm asking the Board of Commissioners to remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Sue Vandeventer, live in Potassi. I actually tried to learn more about the role of the Board of Health and its responsibility to provide oversight to our local health department, but didn't find a lot in the way of specific information. It appears to vary from district to district. But Michigan's Guide to Public Health for Local Governing Entities offers this advice for county commissioners and boards of health. First thing was, place public health programs and services high on your priority list. The second was, increase your knowledge about your responsibility for public health protection and learn about public health programs and services available in your community. I've personally heard many times that when serving on boards, it's best to spend the first several months listening and learning about the organization, its mission, and how it functions. Instead, some members of our current Board of Health have jumped in with both feet and immediately started swinging the axe they have to grind to address their personal grievances with the health department. Right off the bat, the grant funding process that had been in place for over 50 years was axed. I've seen very few of our new Board of Health members take the time to listen and learn about the health department and its mission. In fact, one of our previous Board of Health members, Commissioner Kuntz, who had served for a year and a half on the Board of Health, thus having a lot of institutional knowledge, was removed from his position and replaced with representatives new to the Board of Commissioners and the Board of Health. Given the apparent lack of interest by some of our Board of Health reps to work with as opposed to against the Health Department, I would hope reassignment to the Board of Health might, appointment to the Board of Health might be reassigned in order to better serve residents of Emmett County.
Thank you. Who's next? Step up to the mic if you're going to speak. Anybody else? Let's move it along here.
My name's Mary Lieberman, Emmett County. As a constituent in Emmett County, I've been under the belief that our county commissioners are who we turn to when questions arise about local concerns. Unfortunately, with Commissioner Ginnup as one of the two Emmett County Board of Health reps, I am left with more questions than answers. Why did it take until last week for Mr. Ginnup to remove himself from the ERG website as a founding father? Why is Mr. Ginnup referring constituents, including myself, to his website to see his opinions? Does Mr. Ginnup endorse the misinformation about the health department?
Quiet in the audience.
Does Mr. Ginnup endorse the misinformation about the Health Department of Northwest Michigan on the ERG website? If the full health board had been able to review the grant application request at last week's meeting, did Mr. Ginnup intend to vote in line with the recommendation and vote of his fellow Emmett County Commissioner, Commissioner Mates? Why did Mr. Ginnup vote against allowing the full board to hear the nutrition grant information, thus denying Emmett a voice and a vote? Why did Mr. Ginnup vote against the meeting agenda at last week's meeting, effectively ending the scheduled meeting and Emmett constituents' ability to speak during public comment? Why did Mr. Ginnup bring the medical freedom resolution to the Board of Health, admit someone else wrote it, and then ask Commissioner Mates to read it for him? Why did Mr. Ginnup still refuse to answer most constituents' questions? Why doesn't Mr. Ginnup offer any input, ask any questions, or participate in the Board of Health meetings except for when it comes time to vote on a motion? Why was Mr. Ginnup so adamant about being on this Board of Health? Why did Mr. Ginnup put out disparaging radio interviews and a Petoskey News Review article about the Health Department? Why does Mr. Ginnup actively work against the fundamental mission of the Health Department? As his track record of refusing to answer most constituents indicates, I don't expect to get any of these questions answered from Mr. Ginnup. However,
sit down, Mark.
However, as Commissioner Ginnup often likes to say, this list of questions speaks for itself. I'm asking this Board of Commissioners to remove Commissioner Ginnup from the Board of Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up.
Hello, my name is Leslie Nielsen, and I'm a resident of Charlevoix County. I'm here out of concern for the residents of the community I live in and the decisions the current Board of Health of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan have made. One of these members is Commissioner Rich Ginnup. I have served on several boards over the past 20 plus years. One of the responsibilities of serving on a board is being willing to dedicate time and effort to researching issues placed before you. It is also important to approach issues with an open mind and to be willing to change your mind and position if new information is discovered. Having attended a meeting of the Board of Health last Monday, a meeting which was not allowed to be held because four members voted against approving the agenda, it was disheartening to see a room packed with concerned citizens who wanted their voices to be heard. It was obvious these four members had zero interest in hearing what the public, people they are supposed to be representing, had to say. The fact the meeting was not held is a moot point, as the same four board members already had their minds made up. Commissioner Ginnup, a founding member of ERG, Emmett Responsible Government, posted a partial list of reasons, a list created by Commissioner Jairus Rubinoff on the ERG website, as to why they were opposed to applying for a grant that would have addressed food inequity in our communities. The number one reason was expansion of government. This was surprising to me, as Commissioner Ginnup had no issues receiving a $46,495 loan for his woman-owned company, Ginnup Plumbing, from the federal government during the pandemic, which was subsequently forgiven. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Microbiology and Public Health from Michigan State University, and my intention when attending the meeting last Monday was to educate the commissioners about the importance of fruits and vegetables in our children's diets. As I sat in the room looking at the panels of doctors and experts in the room, I realized it wasn't necessary because four of the board members didn't care. They already had their mind made up. This is not how boards are supposed to work. Commissioner Ginnup has an obvious agenda, being on this board and being on the Board of Health. And sadly, it has nothing to do with the well-being of the people he is supposed to be representing and serving. His inability to research and investigate important issues regarding the health and wellness of members of our community, specifically children, is irresponsible and dangerous. His choice to put politics over people also shows that he lacks the necessary empathy and compassion to continue to serve on the Board of Health. On behalf of myself,
10 seconds,
I have a list of several members, but I'm asking that the Board of Commissioners please remove Rich Ginnup from the Board of Health. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Who's next? Is there anybody else who wants to speak? Move up. Let's go.
I'm Cynthia McWaters. I'm a county resident. Live in the city of Petoskey. I'm here today to acknowledge the nurses in this community. This is National Nurses Week. I wish you would realize the importance of their jobs. They take care of our families, our friends, and our children who may go hungry also. They do an outstanding job. They need to be shown respect. I don't see it happening with this board. Another thing I want to bring up is that you all signed a statement when you first started and also yearly. I don't know if you read it. I'm assuming some of you have not. It's called the Code of Ethics. You are to comply with the laws of the nation, the state of Michigan, and also Emma County. All commissioners, every single one of you, have the responsibility to act when you learn of actions of another commissioner that appears to be in violation of the code. With that code comes respect, meaning you don't disrespect different maybe political groups or different organizations or different people. And because of that, all commissioners have the right to report this either to the chairperson or any three members of the commission are required to report this and have a hearing or a special meeting. That special meeting is to determine the violation and what sanctions can be imposed. As commissioner, you signed this agreement, like I said, to create an atmosphere of respect and dignity and respect the dignity of individuals. Most importantly, avoid and discourage conduct that is divisive or harmful to the best interest of Emma County. And I think it's pretty clear that we see that happening. So I leave it to the commission and to the commissioners to do something about this. One example is this board went against the state rules regarding the health department. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Wiley. Also attended the meeting in question of that didn't occur. And the way I understand the reason that that did not occur was that the item on the agenda should not have been on the agenda because it did not come out of committee. And it's my understanding that even Rich Ginnup, who I know quite well, wished that it could be all the people there would have liked to have discussed this agenda or this grant, which is funded significantly by Blue Cross Blue Shield at $1.5 billion over a period of years. And we must realize that there is no free money, so we have to look into that as to how that occurred. There are a lot of things that should have been discussed, and it's my understanding in talking to the board members that would have voted that it's very likely that the vote would have been 5-3 had there been the motion for the grant presented in against accepting that grant. So what we missed was the discussion, but we're having it today, aren't we? So my full support to the board, this board, and the health board, I think that you are all honorable men and try your best to see what's best for your community, and not only this community, but the state and the nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, my name is Jill Hall, and I'm here just because I was disappointed that the health department did not approve the grant. I'm a retired educator of 35 years, and I want to introduce you to a little boy I had named Dylan in the third grade. Now, Dylan lived a block from school, and it was a kind of a dangerous, they thought his parents were involved in drugs, multiple families living there. Just the sweetest kid you would ever want to meet. And I'd stay after school and tutor him, and we'd go down to the nurse's office because his sister liked the pink milk and he needed some food. And when we meet at lunch, he would be the kid that would lick his finger and go around every single square of his tray. So I think what I would ask, before you deny nutritional food to children, maybe you need to look in the eye of a child who goes hungry. And we know by research, children that are hungry cannot learn. So as a personal thing, I don't know all the codes and I don't know all the regulations of everything, but a child in this county should not go hungry. And if you as a board have an opportunity to make sure that doesn't happen, how could you not vote to help children? It's beyond what I can't understand that. So I'd invite you, those of you who turned the grant down, go into an elementary school. Go sit with a child that is hungry. Go sit with a child that is loaded down with food on the backpack on Fridays because they're worried over the weekend he may not have enough to eat. Shouldn't we all agree that children are worth investing? That every single child in this county should have food? And if we have the opportunity to see that that happens, why in this wide world wouldn't we take advantage of that? Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, my name is Ange Duncan, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself, and also Stephen Duncan, Star Duncan, Kim Brown, Jennifer Sands, Jennifer Duncan, Scott Gallo, Mike Duncan, Adam Stith, Elise Balchick, Ruth Smeltzer, Ron Smeltzer, and Diane Nichols, all of whom could not make it today but wish to have their concerned voice as well. We would like to echo the concern and disappointment with the decision-making and behavior of Commissioner Ginnup, most notably with his Board of Health appointment. His recent vote not to approve the meeting agenda not only denied the residents of Emmett County a chance to have their opinions heard, but also made it impossible for the Board of Health to conduct regular business. Whether or not anyone agrees with his decision not to give approval to the Health Department to apply for the grant for much-needed funding for the most vulnerable population in Emmett County, his actions are continuously limiting the functionality of the health department in which he, as board member, is mandated by Michigan Public Health Code and the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Emmett County Commissioners in general, but also specifically Article 12B to provide. His reasons for doing so are also completely contrary to the mission statement of the health department itself, which is to serve our entire community and to achieve health equity by promoting well-being, preventing disease, and protecting the environment through partnerships, innovation, and excellence in public health practice. Additionally, even if Commissioner Ginup has removed himself from the board of ERG, as they have stated, the beliefs that led him to found such an organization are obviously still informing his decisions, behavior, and intentions toward his appointments. He is showing a willful disregard and a refusal to act in good faith for the benefit and well-being of Emmett County and its residents. We're asking the board to remove Rich Ginup from the Board of Health as soon as possible in accordance with Article 15B of the Code of Ethics and Conduct for Emmett County Commissioners.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, I'm Pat Fralick, and most of you know me by now. I'm a resident of Emmett County, Bear Creek Township. And, you know, the health department has been providing exemplary services to Emmett County for over 90 years. I know this because I worked there for about 45 years, so, you know, I'm pretty old. And, you know, when we look at serving Emmett County, we don't just do what's convenient and serve what's around our office. We are up in Mackinac City. We do clinics in Palestine sometimes. We go to a Lanson school. We go wherever, Carp Lake, Bliss. We've been all over the place. I've driven down two tracks that I'm sure were just meant for cows. But if there was a home there with a mom, with a new baby that needed help, we were there. We go there. We visit homes that most of you wouldn't even want to pull in the driveway. It doesn't matter if there are geese and dogs and ducks chasing us. Our nurses are there. Our staff is there checking kids' vision and hearing in school to make sure they have the ability to learn. And to see a Board of Health meeting that happened last Tuesday when I was there, that there couldn't even be consent to approve an agenda. How incredibly disrespectful to the residents of all four counties, to the staff of this health department that continues, despite a lack of support, to do their job and to do it at an exemplary level. So, Emmett County, the health department has served you. You need to step up and ensure that the business of the health department can continue. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, Joe Murphy, Emmett County. Code of Ethics and Conduct have been talked about by several people. It starts in the preamble, the citizens of Emmett County are entitled to fair, ethical, accountable local government and that has earned the public's full confidence for integrity. Furthermore, public officials be independent, impartial, fair in their judgment and actions. Public office used to be for the public good, not personal gain. In B, Code of Ethics and Conduct acts in the public interest, recognizing the stewardship of the public interest must be their primary concern. County commissioners will work for the common good of the people of Emmett County and not for any private or personal interest. They will assure fair and equal treatment of all persons, claims, transactions, and transactions coming before the county. Respect for process and meaningful involvement of the public. Full disclosure of personal relationships that may give appearance of conflict of interest. Advocacy. County commissioners shall represent the official policies or positions of the Board of Commissioners to the best of their abilities when designated as delegates for this purpose. When presenting their individual opinions and positions, county commissioners shall neither state nor imply that they represent the opinions or the positions of the Board of Commissioners or Emmett County and must affirmatively state that in their own opinion or position, not that the Board of Commissioners. Commissioners shall always be mindful of the needs of the entire county and not just the district they represent. Independent boards and commissions. The board shall be vigilant to maintain sense of independence and monitor board appointments to ensure that no conflicts of interest in the committee appointments. All county commissioners shall have responsibility to act when they learn of actions of another county commissioner that appear to be in violation of the code of ethics. Upon being notified of reasonable suspicion of a violation of the Code of Ethics, the chairperson shall set, or three commissioners may require, the setting of public hearing at a regular or special meeting of the County Board of Commissioners to determine whether the violation of the Code of Ethics has occurred, and if so, what sanctions shall be imposed for the violation. Further, the Board of Commissioners shall impose sanctions on county commissioners whose conduct does not comply with the county's ethical standards. Sanctions shall include reprimand, formal censure, loss of committee assignments, loss restrictions on budget or travel, and removal from the office by the governor in the manner according to law. And finally, commissioners are to avoid and discourage conduct that is divisive or harmful in the best interest of the county, and keep the common good as the highest person's purpose in the focus of achieving constructive solutions to the benefit of the public benefit. I was at the meeting on Monday. The reason the agenda was not adopted was because a few people didn't want that agenda on that item on the agenda. It had nothing to do. The bylaws of the health department do not allow committees to decide on what the board is going to decide on. They can only make recommendations. And instead of that, the agenda could not even be accepted. And that, to me, is unacceptable and a violation of the ethics of the commissioner that we accused.
Thank you. Who's next? Okay, I guess we're going to move on. Yep. Appearances, Parks and Rec.
Got Raymond Bowman here tonight to do an update on Parks and Recreation and what we look forward to this past year and what's coming up this summer.
Good evening, commissioners. For those that don't know me, I'm Ryan Bowman, Director of Parks and Rec, Springville Township resident. We can go to the next slide, too. Some numbers real quick at a glance from last year. These are our revenues. Camp Pedasiga, our biggest revenue earner, 47%, almost over $400,000 in revenue. Headlands just behind that, 26%, over $228,000. McGulpin Point Lighthouse, about $95,000, 11% of revenue. And then it kind of goes, trickles down from there. This is how all the revenue sources break out. Our biggest revenue source is our rental. So that would be our campgrounds, all of our rental houses, our facilities that we rent out at the fairgrounds, then down to retail sales, our retail shop at Camp Pedasiga, the Headlands, and McGulpin Point Lighthouse, as well as some admissions. That's the admissions through the Crooked River Lock, as well as gate admissions and some other admissions for our craft shows and other events that we have. There's a little bit of donations in there as well. And then a snapshot of our expenses, $1.1 million in expense last year. Really, the fairgrounds, Headlands, and Pedasiga are very similar. Headlands a little more so, but don't have a whole lot on that one. And then taking a look at camp by camp. So for those that don't know, Camp Pedasiga, 276 acres. There's 94 campsites. We have 84 sites with water and 5 sites that have full hookups. 4 rustic sites, and then 7 rental cabins. There's as of last year, an 18-hole disc golf course that we're continuing to improve daily. We're working on installing turf pads currently on those tees. The recreation hall is used for large events and gatherings, also a pavilion that can be rented. I mentioned the revenue, over $400,000 in revenue last year. We have 4 bathhouses with showers spread throughout the campground. There are 3 playgrounds, basketball court, the large swimming beach on Pickerel Lake, T-Dock, canoe and kayak launch, and then miles and miles of trails and cross-country ski trails in the winter. Back up to the Headlands. Headlands was designated as the International Dark Sky Park in 2011. There's 525 acres there. We on clear nights, we roll out our 3 mobile telescopes down on the lower observing platform, and when we have astronomers on, they'll help guide the visitors through the night sky, dark sky tour is what we call. Also up in the observatory, we have a 20-inch plane wave telescope. With some new infrastructure work there, we've been capturing some pretty neat photos. Hopefully you've seen some of those in some reports recently. Also, a gift shop at the Headlands. Looks like we have a typo there. One too many twos. Sorry about that. That should be $228,000 in revenue in 2022. The event center hosts many large weddings. Basically, every week there's a wedding there at the Waterfront Event Center, along with family reunions or other large events. We have two rental houses on the property. The guest house is on the point. Sleeps 20, a three-story house. It's a great house to bring for a family reunion or a wedding parties. Rent that out. As well as our second house is the stargazing house that is near the entrance that sleeps 8. On the way in, on the drive-in, you'll notice the Dark Sky Discovery Trail, and those are informations about basically every planet in the solar system and gives you some history of the Discovery Trail is the Dark Sky. Again, miles and miles of hiking trails, and we do groom cross-country ski trails in the winter. McGulpin Point Lighthouse, this is a historic site and currently is undergoing a historic restoration. That restoration is looking like it's going to be finished up in the next week or so. We do tours through the lighthouse quarters. It's $3 a person. There is a gift shop. There is another discovery trail that leads you down to the McGulpin Big Rock down near the shore. We do have a cottage that sleeps 4. That's directly to the left of the lighthouse if you're looking at that photo there. I mentioned earlier $95,000 in revenue last year. The county purchased McGulpin Point Lighthouse in 2008. There is 336 feet of shoreline on the straits, and that will be expanding here in, soon, I believe. Was last operational for protecting shipping traffic in the straits against storms, fog, and rocks between 1869 and 1906. And then kind of a neat thing, the Central Michigan University conducted an archaeological dig on the site in 2012. Here in town at the Emmett County Fairgrounds, that's home to our Emmett Charlevoix County Fair in August. There's 28 acres there. Last year, this is just fairgrounds numbers, not fair revenue, but just fairgrounds numbers, $84,000, mostly in all rental revenue in 2022. Our community center is again used for large weddings and events, family reunions, all that. Two horse arenas, 5 barns, 1 bathhouse is available for rent, and we host a variety of different types of events. Trade shows, car shows, community dances, fundraisers, weddings. We just had the Petoskey High School prom there a few weeks ago, as well as there's 68 electric pedestals for utilization for RVs and vendors during those large events. Further up north at Cecil Bay, this is on the north tip of the county. There's 800 acres protected. In that area, over a mile of the shoreline of Lake Michigan. Cecil Bay is one of the only few great lake wetlands in the state. That's right along the mouth of the Carp River. Beautiful, sandy, secluded beach there. If you haven't gotten to see that, definitely check that out. There's some pavilions available for some daytime use. And then if you didn't know, in 2012, Governor Rick Snyder signed a legislation to protect Cecil Bay and the 21,000 acres known as the Dark Sky Coast Bill. One more, the Crooked River Lock in Weir. This is the Crooked River Lock that allows safe passage of boats along the Crooked River and the inland waterway. Emmett County Parks and Rec, we're the operators through a sublease through the Michigan DNR, who leases the facility from the Army Corps of Engineers. Last year, over $40,000 in revenue. Our annual pass is still $45. Daily pass, $10. Every year, we see 9,000 to 10,000 vessels annually. The lock is necessary in order to maintain the water levels of Crooked and Pickerel Lake, which had dropped quite a bit after some dredging in the mid-50s. And then fun fact, in 2020 and 2021, the Crooked River Lock was the third busiest recreational lock in all of the U.S. Army Corps history for recreational locks. Pretty cool. I mentioned it helps maintain the water levels to Crooked and Pickerel. Some trails, we help maintain some sections of the Northwestern State Trail and the Little Traverse Wheelway, 7 miles and 6.7 miles. Maintaining, meaning mowing, some tree removal, our spring debris removal, and a number of dog waste stations along the way and trash. Along with all our parks and our facilities, we have a number of park programming events that we offer. There's an updated schedule on the website, but this is just kind of a snapshot of some of the basic events that we do year to year. At the fairgrounds, we have 2 craft shows. We have a car show. We just had Visit with Santa. That was a new event we brought in. We just had recently a pretty successful egg scramble for Easter. At Petoskey, we do our annual ice fishing event. 5K run, our Father's Day breakfast, a fly fishing workshop, and our Halloween weekends are always popular, the first two weekends in October. At the Headlands, I'm not going to go through all of these, but a lot of special educators that specialize in some of these types of presentations. They're the subject matter experts to a lot of dark sky areas, and a lot of very smart people here to present on a variety of different topics at the Headlands in regards to dark sky. At the Magulpin Lighthouse, so we have our Autumn at Magulpin Point event and a book signing event with artists. And this is my team. This is who makes it happen. These are the boots on the ground. These are the guys helping me day to day. On the far left, Jamie Westfall. Jamie's the park manager at the Headlands and Magulpin Point. I have a question mark at the Petasiga park manager. That's currently open. We're actively interviewing for that now. Travis Elke is in the middle. He's our facilities manager at the fairgrounds and helps out really wherever he can. Austin, second to the left, he's our programming and sales coordinator. And then I'm on the far right. And we also have 23 seasonal staff members. So busy summer coming. Parks are in good shape as we're approaching Memorial Day. And things are good so far. Any questions I can help answer?
Thank you, Ryan. Any comments? Thank yes.
You. Good job, Ryan.
Yep. Thank you. Camp Grayling expansion.
Good evening. My name is Jim Knight. I'm an elected official in Bear Lake Township, Kalkaska County. And first of all, let me thank you for putting us on the agenda tonight. I can see it's very packed, so I'll go as quickly as I possibly can. What I'm here tonight is to ask the commissioners to consider a resolution to oppose the Camp Grayling Memorandum of Understanding that was just recently signed by the DNR and the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. It is a five-year memorandum, and we believe that in the language of it, which is very vague, that it can be terminated any time within the five-year period. Now, my colleague, Monty Bowles, sent Suzanne a packet here for you to review. And I'm not going to go through all of that for time's sake. I'm just going to hit the highlights here of what our opposition really is. This memorandum was the proposal of 162,000 acres was denied, and the memorandum of understanding was signed on the same meeting. There has been no public input, and our questions are not being answered by the person that's listed on the memorandum, Tom Barnes, and even he doesn't even know the answers to those questions. There is no environmental impact study. They want to use electromagnetic warfare on the public land. There's no study that they provided. We pulled some off in a Google search, and it is definitely harmful, not only to the environment, but also the units. So we're very concerned about a lot of things, and our questions are just not being answered. We have a concern from the camp leadership. In all these meetings that we've attended, and this is going on a year now, we have a lady from Lovells that was taping the meetings. And in those meetings, Colonel Myers would say something, and then he'd contradict what he'd say. Like, for instance, no one would be blocked off, and then by the end of the meeting, we're going to block the public off for safety. And we believe that's exactly what's going to happen here, even though it states in this memorandum that it's going to be open to the public at all times. In my particular area, and I'm sure up here, we rely a lot on people coming up here and recreating. In my particular township, we have snowmobiling, horseback riding, ATV riding, of course, hunting and fishing, mushroom picking. It's a number of people. In my area, it's used for four seasons of the year. Now the camp is saying that no one is going to be impeded by going, but if you can only imagine trying to get that outdoor experience, if you're an equestrian person, where you're riding down a trail and all of a sudden you run into 300 soldiers that somehow is their training and you had no idea that they were going to be there. Well, that person's going to turn around and say, I made a wrong turn, and they'll never come back to that area again, which is going to definitely hurt our businesses. So a lot of this is very vague in this memorandum of understanding. Certainly the thing that is on the table that everybody's aware of is the PFA contamination that Camp Greenling is responsible for. It is in Lake Margareth, and it also goes in the Osable and the Manistee Rivers. Both of those rivers go to the Great Lakes. We are very concerned about the environmental record that Camp Greenling has shown their record, which is very poor. It's been going on since 2016, and all they're doing is monitoring the lake levels. This is a chemical in this PFAS that is a forever chemical that never goes away. It needs to be addressed, and thankfully, Jack Bergman just recently has pressed the Air Force to find when are they going to start cleaning up the PFA mess in Wordsmith, in Oscoda. So this PFA thing is not going away. It's not being addressed. All the Guard cares about is attaining more land, 52,000 more acres. And by their record, in 89, they acquired 50,000 acres. And then after they were done with that, they never gave it back to the public. And then in 2014, they attempted to get another 50,000 acres. And that was denied by Rick Snyder because of the Flint water crisis. And now in 2022, they're asking for 162,000 acres. Their tactic now is to go big and settle for 52,000 acres. So as you can clearly see that the deception on this proposal all along is shady, and we just don't think the camp leadership is telling us the truth. We can't seem to get the answers that we've asked. So what I'm here tonight to ask the commissioners to consider joining us, 66 government entities, almost 40 outdoor groups and environmental groups that are opposed to this on record. We are still receiving resolutions, and one's going to come in tonight from the thumb. We would like to show the people that are in charge of this decision, which goes all the way to the governor's chair, that we do not want this in northern Michigan, and it's showing from all the way from the thumb to the bridge in Sheboygan County. We would certainly love to see this county jump on board. If you would please consider adopting a resolution against this memorandum of understanding, I believe we sent a packet in with a generic one for your review. If you have any questions for me, I'll try to answer them.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
I have one here. So all this stuff on the radio, we've been hearing that this is signed and it's a done deal. That's not true.
They've signed the agreement. Shannon Lott, the DNR, and General Rogers, he's in charge of the other. Yes, it is a signed document. We believe that because we're not getting answers to our questions, I believe they are sitting back waiting to see what we are going to do. We have the anglers of the Osable, a very influential group that is opposed to this and has gone on record as still being opposed to this, and also the tribal governments, which we've met with in Mount Pleasant, are adamantly opposed to this and continue to be opposed against this 52,000 acres. So to answer your question, we hope that at some point the pressure is going to be on, the political pressure is going to be on, and it'll be denied. That's what we hope.
So would the goal be for the state to exit this memorandum of understanding that they've already adopted?
That is a signed document right now that they signed that on the 21st. It was released to the public 1 week later. There's been numerous questions that the gentleman on that document, Tom Barnes, Forestry Division, a guy out of Grayling, he can't even answer the questions. We've even called the camp and asked, and we can't seem to get our answer to our question. One of the questions is this going to be shut down during hunting season? You can only imagine 300 guys out when you're trying to call in a turkey. So it's just, it is so vague.
In the understanding, it says it's open.
Pardon me?
In the understanding, it says it's open to recreation all the time.
Yes, it's open for recreation. And like I explained before, where an equestrian person happens to come down one of our trails and runs into 300 guys that are out in the woods. Yeah. It's just the fact that someone would go to that spot and say, oh, my God, what did I just run into? And they're going to turn around and leave, and they're going to remember that, and they're not coming back.
Right.
That's what happens.
So were we to pass this resolution, what would the goal be of passing the resolution?
The goal would be to continue to show the opposition is still opposed to the scene, okay, even in the memorandum of understanding. We want to make that clear to the people that made this decision all the way down to Lansing.
Okay.
So that's why we've definitely got their attention on these resolutions. I do believe that they reached out to us. Governor Whitmer's aide reached out to us. And because of all the resolutions, they contacted me. And in the discussion that we had, the question he asked me was, wasn't this just vacant land? And it took a moment for me to gather myself on that comment, because I've got 49 years of memories on that land, and they're precious to me. So it's just not vacant land. This is the way most of the people feel where this public land exists. And by the way, I will say this, that if you look at that map of the recent one that was put out by the DNR, you can clearly see the intent of what it appears to look like, that they are heading north. So we believe that because they've got this now, and if we can't stop this, they're going to continue moving north all the way to the bridge.
Will we be able to stop it? Has it already been
determined? We hope that through the pressure from community boards, okay, from township boards, and certainly possibility of litigation from the tribal people and from the anglers of the Asabal. Right now, I can tell you that that they are considering doing something in that regard. I can't go any further than that.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead. So you want to stop the memorandum of understanding now?
Yes.
You've stopped the expansion. The DNR has denied that. Now you're going for the letter of understanding that was just signed, you said? When was
yes.
it signed?
It was signed on the 21st of April and released to the public on the 28th, 1 week later.
Are there going to be any rules or such that are coming down on what's going to happen? I mean, it's been a very short period since it's been adopted.
We would like to have a resolution as soon as possible because we're mounting these resolutions. It's clearly in their mind about the objection to this. So we were hoping that you guys would consider something, pretty quick if you could. I know Osceola County just recently jumped on board last week. There's a vote in Meraki County. So we are clearly continuing, and it does get the attention of the government down in Lansing.
Any other questions?
Chair. Yeah, go ahead. More of a personal experience. I grew up in the south of Higgins Lake from about 1978 through 84. Okay. We owned a cottage there. And at noon on a Saturday or on any day they decided to do training, you could hear the guns up at Camp Grayling at the south end of Higgins Lake. And to people that weren't used to it, they were like, what's going on? Well, it's Camp Grayling. You know, you can hear the guns here. Yeah. So it does have an effect in the entire area. And it's not one that's conducive to tourism, that's for sure.
You're right, Mr. Ahrens. In my township, I have 17 square miles that they train in. And during Northern Strike, I received several phone calls, and I was forwarded these pictures. This was a training op going down the holy water of the Manistee River. This made newspapers. It was on 9 and 10 and 7 and 4. We were told in this proposal that they would stay 1,500 feet away from any body of water. And you would think that they're trying to get this. And here they are in a training op at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. My constituents did not buy their places on prime places on the Manistee River to see 7 rafts going down with machine guns. They did not sign up for that. So thank you.
Those are protected this, trout streams, too.
This land you're talking about, who's it owned by? Is it the state land or
yes,
county or private?
No, it's all state land that's been reverted from tax revenues or from delinquencies through the years. Certain counties like Kalkaska County has an enormous amount of public land there. So does Crawford County. I'm not sure on your county how much public land you have here in Emmett County, but I clearly would think that if they could possibly
with experimental weapons, and who knows where it'll be in 10 years from now. Just exactly where they would want to test, and the key word here is test, because it's unproven of what it does to the environment and to the people, where a signal would somehow be up in this area, on your public land, so they could disrupt a signal, or we don't know what 20 years from now, just exactly what you know experimental weapons mean. So it is public land. Like I said, the distrust and these things they say that, like I just showed you the picture, that's a 15-foot, 100-foot buffer. What the camp says and what the leadership says is not the same thing. So that's why there is so much concern about this and the distrust from Camp Greenlink leadership. We are all fully supportive. I think everybody in this room is supportive of the military. And there is not another state in the country that has given up more to the military than Michigan. Camp Greenlink is the largest training facility in the country at 148,000 acres. With this 52,000 acres they're going to get, takes it to the rounded off figure of 200,000 acres. A very appealing sell job, if you want to bring somebody in here. So,
thank you.
We have a lot of state land here in the northern part of this county. We have a very small tax base because of that.
Any other questions or comments?
Chair, if you would, we just received the resolution. I think it was on Thursday. So if this is something that the board wanted to proceed with, we would ask you to let us have legal review this, and we can get back to you at the next meeting. This packet just came today, so we haven't seen this either. So we've got this information, I think Wednesday or Thursday, and changed from the original proposal that was submitted, the original resolution.
All right. Do you want to go forward with this?
I'd like to see it on the next
agenda. All right. So I'm very in favor of keeping public lands in public hands. I'm very sympathetic to that. I'm also very concerned about us taking up resolutions without seriously considering what the implications are. And I just wrote up some points that I thought we might consider before we vote on a resolution, and I'd just like to share them out.
So you want to share those next week?
Like to pass them along right now.
Okay.
So basically, we need to know who authored the resolution. What's the source of the resolution? What's the purpose? What do we hope to accomplish with this? Is there some concrete step that we're going to accomplish? It seems like this is an agreement that's already taken place, but we can find out more about that. We need to see the resolution as an agenda item for a meeting, and we need to follow our own rules and procedures. All agenda items requiring a vote of the board will be supported by a written summary from the department making a request. In this case, it would probably be a commissioner. Written recommendation from the administrator, civil counsel, legal review, and a proposed motion for consideration by the board. I'd like to have the civil counsel review in writing, and I think we need to assess potential risks that passing a resolution, any resolution, and I'm not particularly aiming this at this resolution, but any resolution could have for the county. This assessment should take place as a discussion among the commissioners, administrator, and legal counsel in a public meeting. And I think we need to assess the material effect that the resolution will have on our county. I always prefer that we focus on county business in this board, and I find resolutions in general that are not focused on this county board and our mission here to be divisive to the public and potentially. I'm not putting this resolution that you're proposing under this category and saying it's divisive, but I just think when we consider resolutions, we need to think about these points.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. If there's any questions, Suzanne knows how to get a hold of me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the administrator's report.
Thank you. First thing on my report was Ryan's presentation, so I won't go through that all again. But I will say we were up at the Lighthouse today, the renovation that's taking place there. They're doing an excellent job. So if you get an opportunity, please head up to the Lighthouse and take a look at that. Ryan did mention that they're doing some work on the disc golf course, and they are putting new tees in there, so that should be up and fully functioning this year. Great reviews last year. We look forward to that. most of the events, Pedasiga, Camp Pedasiga is open. The locks are open right now. And the gift shop at the Lighthouse will open up May 15th. I gave you a little bit of a report in there of what's going on at the airport. May is a busy month where we have the FAA inspection. We have the airport grant is due, and then we do our live burn exercise up there with only water. So that will take place and train the staff there. We are looking at, with SkyWest and TSA, the possibility of doing a short-term expansion to allow larger planes to come into the airport. And with that, there are some requirements that we will have to address, but we are looking at that to see if that's something that's feasible to do for the airport. Planning and zoning, I'll wait till next week so we can go over that. One of the things I wanted to talk about a little bit is a reduction that we might be able to have in the 911 bond millage. That is a five-year millage, and we've been collecting on that millage, and that was for the upgrade and the improvements for the 911 800 megahertz system. This is something that we've looked at, and this is coming up on the last year of the collection for the millage. And with the increases that we've seen, we think we can actually reduce that millage rate that we have for 0.2964 down to 0.115. We think we have sufficient funding in that we've already collected to pay that last debt retirement. So that's something we'll bring to you at the next meeting. So that is some good news, hopefully, for the residents. There was a question at the last meeting about the April claims and the question whether it really was $6 million in claims, and that was yes. There was a $3 million paid out to the townships and counties, so that was correct. That is my report tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Hi, this is Steve Javik. If it's okay, I don't know if this is probably not under the administrator's report or unfinished business or whatnot, but I did want to jump back in at this moment before you go into new business, because earlier in the meeting, when Joellen was asked a question about whether a second on a motion to reconsider could be made by somebody who's not in the majority, I have to apologize because that we checked Robert's rules on that issue. It is a very refined issue, as you can imagine. And there is a provision in there that does allow the second to not be in the majority. So I did not want to let this meeting go by without letting you know that that was not correct. Apologize for it, and offer the commission an opportunity to bring that back up if it's so desired.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So we're back at that motion again. Did you make the motion? You want to remake that motion?
You want to refresh my memory? There's been a lot going.
That was going back to community correction.
Okay.
And the presentation we had last week, the grant, the program that we've been running, community corrections.
Okay. But that was a question that Chuck raised concerning the misunderstanding. Was that it?
Well, I'm very concerned about this prison diversion program.
What was the motion? What was the discussion? There was a misunderstanding.
I recommend that we reconsider that motion that we passed approving that grant request last meeting.
Okay. I'll make the motion that we re-examine that grant corrections.
Okay, so we have a motion.
And I did second it.
And a second.
Do we need a written motion or a more specific motion for that?
If I may, Mr. Chair, it would be a motion to reconsider. I think that's essentially what was just made. The only qualification that was added when it was originally made was that it be reconsidered at the next meeting, I believe, which would be an appropriate thing to do because you don't obviously have that information back before you again at this time. So if you'd like, that is not uncommon. You make a motion to reconsider at the next meeting. That by the business.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
I will make that motion to reconsider that. The motion to reconsider on corrections at the next meeting, and that would be
on the 18th.
18th.
May the 18th.
And a second, it's good with that?
Oh, go ahead and second.
Okay, yep. All right. So we'll put that on the agenda for the 18th.
Do we need a vote?
Oh, we need a vote. We can have a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Chair, I have a question. I don't have that grant in front of me, so I don't know the timing of that grant. So us going another week and...
The grant is submitted. I don't think a week is going to make a difference.
Well, we're not missing any deadlines in any part of it or anything.
It's already submitted.
Okay.
So I think we need to clarify. I don't know if you got that vote or not.
I think we need a roll call. Can't we have a roll call, please?
A roll call vote.
Let's have a roll call.
Okay. Commissioner Gutowski.
No.
Commissioner Ginna.
Yes.
Commissioner Mix.
Yes.
Commissioner Lofton.
Yes.
Commissioner Coons.
No.
Commissioner White.
No.
Commissioner Ahrens.
No.
Motion fails.
Okay, now moving on to no unfinished business, moving on to new business, Bear Creek Township.
Good evening. Thank you again. We have two items tonight. This is part of the American Rescue Plan where we set aside a little over $1 million for our local units of government, township, cities, and village, where the county provided a $50,000 match for these communities to do programs within their own community that was beneficial to them as long as it met ARPA guidelines. So tonight before you, we have our two first proposals coming in. The first one is from Bear Creek. They have submitted a proposal to do an upgrade to their sewer infrastructure that is definitely needed to increase the capacity on Bear Creek's North Pump Station, which is located on Hiawatha Trail. The upgrade would help eliminate the backups and allow the service for new and expanding developments within Bear Creek Township. We have reviewed what was presented, and we feel that this meets the requirements of the specifications that we've put together and also the ARPA requirements.
Okay.
So this is a 50% match, and if you look in there, this project is a little bit more than that, but this helps them fund that project.
Mm-hmm. So could we have the motion?
I'll make the motion.
You want to read it?
I move the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution with Bear Creek Township, including $50,000 matching funds to upgrade Pump Station 2 as requested in the submitted application, and authorize the chair of the board to sign the agreement.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Lofton?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginna?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. And then we have the same thing for Center Township. Right?
Center Township, this is a partnership with the Road Commission to do some improvements in Center Townships to Lark's Roads between Division and Levering. They're partnering with the Road Commission to do improvements on the road there. This has been reviewed, and we would recommend moving this one forward also.
Okay, could we have the motion?
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve the agreement for local fiscal recovery fund distribution in the Center Township, including $50,000 matching funds to repair Lark's Lake Road, as requested in the submitted application, and authorize the chairman of the board to sign the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and 2 seconds. Let's have is there any discussion on this? Yeah, let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginna?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner
Lofton? Yes.
Motion passes. Next we have Inmate Food Services.
This is a contract with, we went out for RFP for food service in the jail. Canteen is the company that we're currently working with. We've been working with them for the last 4 years. They are the only person that bid on this. The sheriff has had a good working relationship with Canteen and would like to renew this contract. Their meal prices increased about 7% over where they were last year. It's a five-year contract with the last 2 years being renewal. The more prisoners we have in, the lower the price of the food goes. The less prisoners, the less we get. But as you see in there, they show you the meal prices. We think this is a good proposal for 3 years, and after the end of 3 years, we negotiate for those final 2 years.
I take it they must provide for much of the prisons. They're out of cold water.
So. They are. They cantinas throughout the state.
Yeah. Okay, could we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the inmate food service agreement with Canteen Services and authorize county administrator to sign the agreement and all other required documents.
Thank you, Dave. Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
I do have one question. Do we charge the inmates for their meals? Do we charge it back to them?
There is a fee that's charged back to them for being incarcerated. I don't know if it's looking for help from the back of the room. Mike, can you come in for a sec? There was a question on are the inmates charged for the meal? There's the fee that's charged. I don't know how if that's separated out or not.
We'll dip it back to my former life there and tapping that knowledge. They are charged a boarding fee per day to stay in jail, all inclusive with meals. I can't tell you what that is right now. I don't remember it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion on this? Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mates?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have Emmett County website.
This is something that we've been working on for the last couple of years. If you look at our website, we don't get very many compliments on our website. We have put money on the budget to do improvements to the website. We've put out an RFP, a request for proposals on the street. We had 15 vendors that replied back to us. We looked at the proposal. The IT staff, administration, and some other employees went through the proposals that were submitted. We looked at the three lowest price ones to find which one was best suited for us, and spent a lot of time, met with the vendors themselves, had them do a demonstration for us, explaining what we're looking for in our system. The companies that we sat down with, Civic Plus and Revise, that's what they do, is build websites for municipalities. After going through all the proposals, meeting with the vendors, it was suggested that we go with Revise to build out our website, host our website, and move forward. They felt that this was the best overall system where we could have input from our employees, that our departments would be able to put information in. It's much more easy to maneuver through the process. Included was a rebuild after 5 years, that they would rebuild the system for us. So if we wanted to change and upgrade the system, it would do the same. When we look at what it costs to maintain the website over the years, the next 5 years would be $6,900, and that's about what we're paying right now for the website that we have to maintain the website. But the functionality and what we have, and you have an extensive report in here with all the recommendations from our staff and our review, we're looking forward to this project. It's something that's sorely needed.
Okay. Could we have the motion?
I will, Chair. I move the board approve the $37,700 bid proposal from Revise for website redesign, $6,900 per year for the website hosting, maintenance, and support services, subject to a suitable contract being negotiated by the county administrator and civil council.
Second.
We have a motion and several seconds. Any discussion?
I would just like to thank the IT staff. They've done an excellent job going through this. Jake and Tatum have spent a lot of time making sure this system will be something that we can be proud of.
Yes, thank you.
That's my comment. The bids are way
spread out.
They are.
13,000 to 212,000.
Yes.
We actually rebid this because the first one we did, it was there's some confusion in the bid, and I think the high bid was $1.2 million. So we knew at that point that there was something wrong, and so we're much happier where we are today.
Any other?
Mr. Chair, I'm very glad that you got 15 bids in this. And this is not the cheapest bid, but it's also, like you said, far from the most expensive. It sounds like the staff is really happy with this particular company.
Any other discussion, questions? Let's call the roll.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. New fund for charter of accounts.
Yes, thank you. We'd like to set up a new fund, and that's what this is tonight. As the opiate money from the settlements starts to come in, we want to set up its own individual funds. So there's the transparency there. We can track where those fundings are going. Anyone sitting here will be able to see where that goes. So within the new chart of accounts established by the state of Michigan, Fund 284, we want to reserve that for the opiate funding. So when the money comes in, you will see that. We are working on the guidelines on how that money will be distributed back into the public, so you should see that probably within the next couple of meetings. We'll come back to you with that plan. We have received our first check from the Janssen, that they called the Janssen Fund. It was just over $104,000. We anticipate more money, and then there's a second settlement coming down the road, and that money needs to go right back into education and programs for opiate-related substance abuse. So we look forward to using that money and setting up some programs within the community.
Wonderful. Looking for the motion.
I'll make that motion, Chair. I move that the board approve the attached resolution within the County Board of Commissioners to create Fund 284 within the local chart of accounts for the opiate settlement funds.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Motion passes. We're down to communication. We have a couple of communications, and we have one of our commissioners has gone through the commission school and graduated. Attaboy, Neil.
Where's your job?
Pardon?
Where's your hat?
My hat.
Yeah. Don't you get a hat?
I didn't get a hat. I know of no swag involved.
No.
I got a nice certificate that I hang on the wall above my desk.
Thank you,
good deal.
It's nice being honored.
Thank you for hanging in there, yes.
How long was it, Neil? How long was the training?
How long is what?
The training. How long was the training?
Well, it's a cumulative amount of over 20 hours.
Mr. Chair, I have an item regarding communications. In light of the extensive communication that we heard here tonight from constituents, and the massive amount of public comment, and our code of ethics, it says that county commissioners should represent the official policies or positions of the Board of Commissioners to the best of their ability when designated as delegates for this purpose. And it occurred to me that we've never really had a conversation about what our position is regarding the Health Department, Board of Health, and our role in that. And I would propose that at our next meeting, we put on the agenda a public discussion of what this board, this body, and how we would like to be represented and what our positions are regarding the Board of Health and the Health Department, and that just as an open discussion. We've never really heard from each other what we want to happen, and I think it's hard for someone to represent our positions if we don't know what they are and haven't defined them. So I just request that we put that on the next agenda.
Any problems with that?
No, I think it's great. Actually, I'd like to know what it is.
Yeah, that'll give us a little bit of...
You ask a question and you think it's the end of the world kind of.
I think we need some kind of understanding, you know?
That'd be great.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yep.
All right. Okay, we're time for public comment again. Anybody wishing to speak? Step up.
I thought that we would hear Kristen Doran's email, but I do want to share an email that she shared to Emmett Responsible Government. She says, good evening. I wanted to reach out and raise a concern I have about Emmett County Commissioner's involvement in a website called Emmett Responsible Government, or ERG. As I'm sure you are aware, the current chair, Rich Ginnup, is listed as a founding member of the website. This website has been posting stories that actively work against the mission of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. My concern is that Commissioner Ginnup appointed himself to the Board of Health while also being a part of a website that has posted many false claims and perpetuation of divisive topics. It seems to me that when Commissioner Ginnup stated that he felt there needed to be a change on the Board of Health, his motive was to actively work against the mission and purpose of serving on such a board. After having spent the last 3 years observing the actions of commissioners who serve on the Health Department of Northwest Michigan's Board of Health, it concerns me gravely that Commissioner Ginnup is not acting with integrity and putting Emmett County at risk. The response is, yawn, more ho-hum. Poor Kristen Horan, so misinformed, yet still trying to undermine the work of Commissioner Rich Ginnup and other similarly minded representatives on the Northwest Board, Michigan Board of Health. Where to start? We'll go in order of the complaints in her letter. Commissioner Rich Ginnup, also chair of the Emmett County Board of Commissioners, has never had any editorial involvement in ERG website. This is untrue. He was founder of the ERG grassroots group, but once he elected as a commissioner, he took the honorable path by removing himself from leadership. In fact, he no longer appears on the about page of the website and has been replaced by another informed, hardworking patriot. Also untrue. The articles, blogs presented at this website do not actively work against the mission of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. They accurately report on issues and policies encouraging the department to work within its mission for the benefit of all who live in the four counties represented. Of course, Ms. Horan cited no false claims or divisive topics. As with many COVIDian health agitators, a false claim means she disagrees with someone, even if she is wrong. Chair Ginnup most certainly did not appoint himself to the Board of Health, as she claims. In fact, many Emmett County residents witnessed him getting elected to the health board. This, I do not know if this is true or false. Quite a difference.
30 seconds.
Thank you. Many constituents represented by this health board believe there needed and still does need to be a change in the manner that the board conducts its business in order to stay within its mission. ERG has consistently encouraged this board to stop spending massive amounts of money with little or no oversight, stop enforcing mandates, e.g. masks, vaccines, lockdowns, and shutdowns, and to put our citizens at risk. To that end, we applaud with integrity to which Rich Ginnup is governing.
Thank you.
Ma'am, could you give me your name again? I'm sorry.
Leslie Nielsen, N-E-I-L-S-O-N. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Step up.
Hello, Buckminster. First of all, I want to thank you for getting new website. You've heard me so much here. It has just been called to my attention recently, and I don't know if this was brought up when you were sent out your RFPs for websites, but there are guidelines for ADA with creating websites. I did not know that, and I don't know, was that considered? You can answer me later. If that was considered, I hope it was. Something new for me to learn. And also in regards, and this isn't to change anything that has happened here, with rescinding vote, and I know the lawyers have stepped in a couple of times, but as I remember, because I've attended enough meetings, I do remember this having happened in the past. And when they say, I think it says in Robert's Rules of Order or somewhere in your rules of policy or something, that a rescinding vote, and they met the law, attorneys mentioned it, it has to happen at the next meeting. And I'm not sure if that means tonight, the following meeting. I know it doesn't affect anything because of the way you voted, but I think it needs to be clear, or does it need to be the next meeting after the original vote that you're going to rescind happened, which would have been tonight's meeting? And I'm not sure how it's brought up, if it needs to be put on the agenda if somebody wants to rescind a vote. But I think, myself included, and all of you need to become really clear on how that transpires and to do it accurately. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak?
Hi, I'm curious, what happened with the communication? Why? So that email I saw on the ERG website, which, by the way, I don't know how it got in their hands, because so Brian and David was addressed, you had your addresses on it, and then her personal email was printed and exploited all over that website. How did the ERG receive an email that comes to the Board of Commissioners? Are those released to the public? Well, I mean, how?
It's in our packet.
It's on the agenda.
Access our packet.
So prior to, so, but why would her personal, did she want it listed?
If a communication is submitted to the commissioners, they forward it so that it's part of the agenda under the communication section. And then it goes on the agenda and in the minutes.
So if a person were to address the Board of Commissioners in the future and did not want personal information like emails, would we need to request that?
I would say they just make sure they tell the commissioner, please don't release my email address.
Okay.
I'm not sure we can edit.
Well, I know it can, we can take it back now. I was just curious.
We could redact it if they request it.
Yes. Okay. Also, I regret what seems like a personal attack. And I my concerns about a person also includes three others, but only one of whom is here. And again, when you're a voice for the public and not just one person, I regret for any pain that causes, because I know each of us has lots of great qualities. I also want to thank all of you. As I'm sitting here tonight, there have been some really amazing needs of our community members in different groups. And thank you for hearing about those grants and proposals and listening to how the money would be used and agreeing. No grant is perfect. And oftentimes, those of us who apply to grants, there are certain criteria within them we may not wish to have included, but it is a condition of the grant. So thank you for recognizing those needs.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak?
Just stand on a positive. I want to compliment the board on the items that were presented tonight, and in particular the opioid settlement fund that was just unanimously passed. That's what should be happening at the health department. You're listening to your experts, your administrator here. They're bringing things to you that they know are best interest of our community. The health board's doing the same thing. Please, going forward in the future, respect and listen to the experts who have researched these things. And again, that opioid settlement money came from private sources. We didn't question them at all, and I don't think you should. The same thing needs to be applied for the health department. Thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak?
Good evening. My name is Rebecca Otto, and I am a
Littlefield Township resident, but I am addressing you today as the Community Impact Director of Sharon Region of United Way of Northwest Michigan. As many of you know, we have something called the Federal Poverty Line, and we're all familiar with that, and we're also familiar with the fact that the cost of living in many different areas across the country make it impossible to apply that one standard across the board. So this was something that United Ways at large had been trying to combat, and United Way in Northern New Jersey came up with a system called the ALICE report. ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. It's a way to tell the story of the people who are above the federal poverty line, but below a household survival budget for the particular municipality that they're living in. As of this date, as of last month, we have had 5 reports released for the state of Michigan. We have a lot of aggregate data to be able to trend which direction our municipalities are moving. Overwhelmingly, we thought we were going to see really bad numbers for this last report. It was post the start of the pandemic and after the census, and we anticipated that people were going to be hurting. What we found overwhelmingly across the majority of the districts in the entire United States is that pandemic assistance and interagency and state and private sector cooperations softened the blow of everything that our constituents were dealing with. And so in our county, we actually have the lowest rate of ALICE households that we have ever had in the history of the entire report. We have been as high as 42, and we are now down to 33% of our constituents that are below the ALICE threshold. This next report that comes out will be after that all of those assistance models are gone, and we're back to nonprofits working behind the scenes to try to do what we can to again soften the blow of those who are struggling the most, and we anticipate that those numbers will go up again. So as you're making decisions, I would welcome more communications with you. I would love to do another presentation, as I've done to this board in the past, to give you a better understanding of each one of your districts and how this plays out for your constituents. But this is data and numbers that we can stand behind for the people that you are serving right now. And you can see the fact that interagency cooperations, everybody's stepping together to take care of those who are the most marginalized in our community, really did do a service to everyone that you are serving today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, our next board meeting will be in this room. Board of Commissioners meeting will be held on May 18th, 2023 at 6 o'clock on the 200 Division Street address. We need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make the motion.
A second. And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.